you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
This Bears report with Mark Grody. $80-plus million dollars guaranteed. How are you celebrating? DJ Moore, he's just like us.
I celebrate dinner with Popeyes. It's good, too.
I don't want to get too personal, but three-piece, four-piece, spicy chicken sandwich.
Now we had an eight-piece family dinner. It was classic. You know, my son and had to eat, so he tore up some chicken, and my daughter was eating the chicken and mashed potatoes, and they tore it up. But we couldn't do spicy, so because we got them too.
Boy, that's phenomenal reporting.
Fried Chicken Wednesday, baby. Who deserves fried chicken? Me. Who deserves fried chicken? Me. Love fried chicken. Fried chicken, yeah.
He's just like us, man.
Like Paul
That's
Giamatti.
So relatable.
Like,
I love that.
Like Paul Giamatti in Sideways. I hope he brought a really good bottle of wine.
And if they want to drink Merlot, we're drinking Merlot.
No, if anybody orders Merlot, I'm leaving. I am not drinking any Merlot.
Okay. Relax, Miles. Jesus, no Merlot.
But we got Giannis getting the 50-piece after he wins an NBA
title. Yeah.
Right.
Went to Chick-fil-A for the 50-piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mac Minis. 50, exactly. Okay. Not 51. Then 49 chicken minis, yes. 50.
I mean, that just reminds me like when Chris Rock on Comedians in Cars getting coffee.
Two piece with a biscuit is one of the greatest meals ever invented.
Have you ever had Popeyes?
Popeyes is too good. After you have Popeyes, you need one of those Men in Black memory sticks to erase your memory, or else you will come back to this place
every day.
No one can say that that's a bad choice. It's 100% of the time delicious.
Tilt your head back and let the meat slide down your throat hole. Easy, don't choke.
Popeye's chicken is awesome.
Here goes the one, two, three.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Popeye's chicken is delicious. Big news. Yeah, these are the kind of takes that I bring.
Shane brought an assortment of potato chips down.
He did.
He could not find the Miss Vicky's spicy dill pickle. They were out of them, but the sweet and tangy barbecue Doritos?
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea. Absolutely no idea.
I love jalapeno chips, too. That's a good one
These are the jalapeno poppers with the phony cheese there. Yeah. I don't think they actually pop open and
probably
have
not.
Dripping cheese.
That's misleading.
We'll find out. We'll find out during the show.
I have a new reason to tune in for the Hall of Fame game tonight.
Dude.
You guys seen the Fluce, the video of him walking into the stadium yet?
I have him muted.
I don't think he's going to wear this on the sidelines, Danny.
No, I don't think so either.
But my goodness, the glow up. The glow up for the Bears head coach continues. That is a monochromatic look of the light gray suit and the shoes matching and a lighter gray or perhaps white shirt.
With the shades.
The shades and the hair resplendent.
Yeah, he looks very stylish. That's a few thousand dollar suit, it looks like. Very, very closely tailored.
Custom fit, 100%.
Yeah.
No question that's a custom fit. I have one issue, which is the bottom of the three buttons is buttoned. All three of the buttons are buttoned. So that is a man unaccustomed to wearing those three buttons. I don't know if his wife made the trip to Canton. But that to me is my only sartorial issue. Otherwise, that dude looks great.
Can I pour some water on this fire?
Please.
On the Floos glow up fire?
Yeah. This is just a guy with money who got a stylist. We are focusing way too much time on like, oh, Matt Eberflus looks so good. He got a beard. He went to Lawrence Funk in the South Loop, which is a great haircut, great barber, by the way, and that's where he goes, him and Ryan Poles. He got a haircut, and he got better clothes. I'm tired.
Who's saying it's more than that? Other than Bernstein.
Nobody.
Bernstein is. He said he looks smarter.
Yes.
Yeah. Bernstein is saying more. Yeah.
And God forbid he believes in Jesus. But, like, it's not
Bernstein would have a real problem
than a rich guy getting a stylist and going to a good barber in Lawrence Funk. I'm tired of it.
Listen, I think that's a pushback that you're entitled to.
Not to you guys, by the way.
I understand.
In general.
But I think you're missing some subtext. I think you're missing some subtext to the whole glow up and the whole embracing of the glow up. And that's that good football makes guys look better and sound better. Like the tide turning for the Bears is coinciding with his found stylist and his efforts. Like it's all coming together in a really nice way for Eberflus. That to me is the big subtext for our appreciation of the Flus's glow up.
He looks good. I still think that it's mostly window dressing, to your point, Shane. Like I like that he apparently has studied some media stuff and like took some pointers. That was in the Kalen Kaler piece that was basically saying, like, yeah, when he wasn't able to give an injury designation last year or tell us who was starting at quarterback and he went back and forth and was just paralyzed by it.
Yeah.
Taking a little bit of media training, that's a really good idea because clarity of thought, it makes you sound smarter. It gets people like us off your back.
It makes it
more about the results.
And let me say, I remember a telling moment last year when Mully asked correctly on the Mully and Haw show, he said, who's coaching up the coach? And that phrasing, it was perfect, was spot on, because he embarrassed himself over and over and over. So, yeah, I think there has been media training. And I think the stylist might have gone along with the media training. Let's work on the whole thing, Flus, shall we?
Yes. You're the head coach. You're not a defensive coordinator. This is Chicago, not Indianapolis. Yep. And, oh, yeah, by the way, let's allow for the possibility, even though I've been critical, old Kevin Warren influence. It's possible.
It's entirely possible.
Hey. We got to be world class in everything we do.
Sure. Maybe your old buddy Ted Cruz.
Yeah. We got to be world class. We're inviting HBO and Hard Knocks in here. We're going to be on national TV 5 times. We're playing on Thanksgiving. We're week 2 Sunday Night Football. This is a presentation of the new look Bears to the world.
Yeah.
We got to be on top of this stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's all good and all reasonable. I don't know that it helps you win any football games.
But it might help you get some votes for Coach of the Year, though, too. Feel pretty good about my bet. Right now,
okay.
My early sharp better.
I don't know if the suit is going to help.
So, Danny, you like the suit, though, right?
Yeah, I think the suit looks good.
Because one time about 6-7 months ago, I said in our pre-show meeting that I was wearing a gray suit to a wedding and that it was my favorite go-to suit.
Yeah.
And you said, a gray suit is your go-to suit?
Did I say that?
Yeah.
I had some gray suits.
Okay.
No. All right, no. So it wasn't a gray suit.
It was. It was.
It was a brown suit.
It was grayish tan. Grayish tan.
That was a tan suit. That was a tan suit.
No, grayish tan.
No. You're good.
It was grayish tan.
Do you have a picture of it?
Show
Tanny a picture of that suit. It was a tan suit. A gray suit or a blue suit is a go-to suit. Normal color for suit. That was a tan suit.
Either way, this seems like an issue fit for the 5 o'clock hour.
less music talk stuff.
We led with Flus's suit.
Yeah.
Okay. Tonight.
Well, let me say this, by the way. Okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
No.
All right. Go ahead.
There is a full range of bets that you can make on this football, quote, game, unquote, tonight.
Why are you saying that with any degree of surprise?
Because it's not even a game, dude.
Wait a second.
Nobody's playing.
You're disrupting me critiquing Shane's tan suit and the football point that I was going to make for the revelation that you can bet on this football game.
Yeah, 3 or more passing touchdowns.
This is America.
Plus 1,100. It's ridiculous.
This will be a low-scoring, ugly football game.
If you're going to bet, do it on FanDuel, where I'm looking at all these ads, by the way.
This guy over here.
Look at all these odds. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know the total in this game?
It's probably in the low 30s.
What's the total in this game? 32.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, you nailed that.
I've bet preseason football before.
Yeah, you're a sick individual.
Yeah.
You're a problematic person.
If you're going to watch the game, you may as well have some money on it.
Yeah.
Because, listen, like I said to start the show, I still feel this way. This is a unique opportunity for a national audience to have a Bears talk show breakout where there's nothing negative. I will be very surprised if they do the no good franchise quarterback graphic and negative history. I think it will be positive football return, celebratory Mongo and Hester and Peppers and Caleb and Hard Knocks and the present and the future and the past. And like, oh, but like good things. It'll be celebratory. And then in the game, your starters aren't playing. So like, the Titans got bad news today with DeAndre Hopkins. The Lions got bad news the other day with their kicker being out for the season. Yeah, you could have a backup get hurt, and that, you know, would be obviously like bad news, but it's minor bad news. This is the type of year where, other than a thing like a DJ Moore extension, or if they sign a veteran to a one-year deal, these next few weeks, it's like the only news that happens is generally speaking, bad news.
Yeah, this is bad news season.
It's a bad news season.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight, Bears fans can just like sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. And if you want to lock in on Austin Booker,
I do,
or Zach Pickens, or Tyler Scott, or whomever, totally great, more power to you. But I think it's going to end up feeling more just like, holy cow, how cool is this?
Yeah, and there's going to be, like, you know what there's going to be for a lot of people? I think there's going to be like, oh my God, there's NFL football on my television.
A little baseball cleanse?
Yeah, because it's been a rough season, obviously. I think, and a lot of people, we've all been talking about the optimism that the Bears represent and that they will one day come back to offer that. And tonight should be a very clean and positive extension of Bears optimism. Tonight, there should be nothing that derails that. And there could be some people who would like to just kind of bask in that, just kind of hang around with Buck and Aikman and hear about Hall of Famers and just let that wash over you.
Yeah, I can't even think about, like, tomorrow what could come out of it that would have anyone be overly positive or negative.
Well, what's the worst thing that happens tonight? Is a big injury, right? But there's got to be nothing schematic. It's going to be like, well, you know, I'm really worried about this Waldron offense.
No.
Anything like that. No pressure on the backup quarterbacks all night long.
I'll be honest. Like, this is a game that I don't normally watch.
Well, I don't normally watch it because
the starters don't normally play, mm-hmm. and you don't always have a connection to the Hall of Famers. And if you're going to have a connection to the Hall of Famers, I'm more interested in watching their speech than their interview in the booth for 4 minutes mm-hmm. during the game. But my guess is this does a pretty good number in Chicago because of how strong the vibes are, because of how many Hall of Famers are connected to the Bears, and because of the positivity that the discussion will warrant. It's gonna feel good to be the cool team, the it team. They'll be talked about even more. The Texans will get talked about, sure, but
there's gonna be a lot of Bears talk tonight.
A lot of positive Bears talk tonight, mm-hmm. and we'll talk to Weeder in 10 minutes from Canton to see if he has a good sense of exactly who is going to play in the game. But there's nothing bad, man.
How long are you in tonight? How long will you stick with this football game?
We are recording first in pod at halftime. So I'm gonna watch the first half, mm-hmm. and then I'll have the rest of it DVR'd to catch up on like Hester and any like content for the show in that way so that I can fast forward commercials.
Gotcha.
On the second
half. Hester's not playing tonight.
No, but any interviews that he might do or things like that.
Tell you what, though, Julius Peppers is opposite Montez Sweat.
It feels like he could still get six
sacks. That was
sacks.
Weird, right? The fact that they asked him?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he's going in?
Yeah, he'd still get six sacks.
Yeah, easily. So, yeah, I'll be doing first and pod during halftime and then catching up.
We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
Good.
But also, kickoff rule tonight.
Yeah.
Will there be returns or will it be touchbacks? And my theory, too, I do think that there's going to end up being a ton of touchbacks when the regular season starts. But I also think that teams are going to play it very vanilla in the preseason.
Not show any of the
nuance. Not show anything. You certainly won't see starters as returners. You're not going to see starters on coverage.
Oh, great. Like, so we'll see preseason think pieces about the boring effects of the kickoff rules.
I think we might see people try to return it.
I'm going to scroll past those right now.
But I don't think you're going to see
Like, Justin Fields is not going to be returning a kick for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. They're not going to put Rome Odunze out there to return a kick for the Bears. It's, I mean, obviously not
but
tonight.
There will be tonight. There'll be a lot of people getting their very first taste of what that kickoff play looks like.
Correct. And I would guess that in the preseason, teams will not just boot it out the back of the end zone like they might in the regular season.
No, they'll work on the physicality of actually doing it.
Can my kicker kick it really high and land it as close to the goal line as possible?
Can my coverage team learn the timing of how they have to wait before they start to run?
Yeah, I think the kicking side of it, you will see teams do it.
Try to cough and corner it.
Yeah, kind of conventionally, without the touchback. The return, I think that they will play it very, very vanilla and very, very safe.
I think DeAndre Carter will return a kick for a touchdown for the Bears tonight. Like, the first time that this is being used, there's going to be enough confusion and enough holes for you to really figure out. Because no one wants any team to start at the 30. Like, the touchback thing is not going to happen often. They're going to put any team, except for, like, if Tyreek Hill is back there, if Isaiah Pacheco is back there.
I think the touchback thing is going to happen a ton in the regular season.
I'm exact opposite.
No, I think it's going to happen a ton in the regular season, and then they're going to try to change the touchback rule to the 35.
That was what was initially proposed, and then they settled on it was 25 last year, then they proposed 35, and then they settled on 30.
It's not going to be enough.
It's too many yards, man. Like, starting at the 30 is too big of an advantage.
I think there are going to be a lot of teams that end up conceding it just because they get freaked out by the possibility. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. It'll be certainly an interesting thing to follow.
It's the most interesting schematic thing for sure.
I have I have tickets to another event tonight, so I will be DVRing the Bears as well.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm going to the Cubs game against the St. Louis Cardinals tonight.
Dude.
Why? I've had these tickets for a while. My buddy 313 Paul up there in 313.
Who's
sit
that?
Up there. 313 Paul.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He's the one who made the Sammy Sosa take that I then brought to the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I'm gonna be up there, I'm very, very excited to go see the Cubs tonight.
So you were invited to go see the Cubs?
No. I was given tickets to go see the Cubs.
Okay.
We've got
good for
a plan.
You. They hit the hell out of the ball.
The offense is rolling. It's still baseball season, baby. Could be fun tonight.
Actually, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
It's not.
Tonight? It sure is.
No, it's not.
What time's kickoff?
7 something?
7 what?
I don't know. 20?
Well, okay.
10?
Well, then it's still baseball season. First pitch, it's still going to be baseball season.
Okay.
Was it 7:05 for the Cubs start? Right here on the score, by the way.
Okay.
So it's going to be still going to be baseball season when the game starts, unless there's a rain delay.
It's fairly remarkable that your sport did the bare minimum of getting us to football season.
Now I got another 15 minutes.
It's not his sport, though, Danny. Like, the local part of it did the bare minimum. Baseball is still hot.
The local teams
aren't.
That's what I'm talking about.
It is red hot. This is one of my biggest resentments on the sports calendar, is just as the sport is really kicking into an extra gear, and these teams that have made all these deals are starting to show themselves. The Padres are hot. You know, the Diamondbacks are hot. The Royals are hot. Those are the three hottest teams out of the All-Star break. Jamokes like you would rather, you know, watch the Hall of Fame game and gamble on it. That's what you'd rather do.
Speaking of your sport, Speaks, I'm hesitant to say this because I think if I say it, they won't do it. But I think Pedro Grifol is fired tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, Jesse Rogers has been doing some reporting on this too, saying that he thinks he doesn't last the weekend.
Well, he doesn't have hair, so I don't care.
Mm. I mean, I've always thought all year long, I've thought that once they make all the deals and a bunch more of the kids come up, they'd rather have someone else be involved in setting the culture that they're going to move forward with, and that would be probably Charlie Montoyo.
And you did.
What are we
you
doing did. Here?
I think he's fired before tomorrow's game.
Whoa.
God, that would just be hilarious because it's like, what were they waiting for? It's like 18? That's the number? That's the number. They're like, wait a minute. We can't have this anymore. Like, it's so comical. Like, that. Just ride it out the rest of the season. Who cares at this point?
Well, unless it's just gotten too noisy with the report from 670 The Score the other day of what had gone on inside the room, then there's just too much noise and too many problems.
You don't wait, Tanny, because you still value Drew Thorpe. You value Brooks Baldwin. You value Unfortunately,
I cherish Brooks Baldwin like my own son.
Unfortunately, you do.
Miguel Vargas.
Like, you value Miguel Vargas regardless of whether or not he can catch fly balls. Like, you value these baseball players. You don't want them to start their tenure in the major leagues with a manager who's not good for anything.
Remember,
except for being a nice man.
There's absolutely no reason to have kept him to start your new era, you know, of what you're doing here with Chris Getz. There's absolutely no reason to have kept him except not wanting to pay two managers.
You saw they sent $4 million to the Orioles to get him to take Eloy?
What?
That little detail came out today.
Yeah, so they ate $4 million of the remaining salary.
Of the remaining, like, it was, I think it's a little over $4 million this year, but then there was a buyout of $1.5 million, you know. Yeah. So the Orioles, I think, are on the hook for a little less than $2 million, and the White Sox had to send a bunch of money away to get him to take Eloy.
And just so they could get a very low-end prospect, if anything, in return, which is what they got.
Yeah. Chris Getz has to be homeschooled.
Because we had the other bit that broke from Dan Hayes, who used to cover the White Sox, about what the Twins were offering in the Eric Fetty sweepstakes.
What I heard from there was that this is where we started. The Twins didn't approach that level. They wanted one of those three. Walker Jenkins, who's the number six prospect, Brooks Lee, who's number 13, and Emmanuel Rodriguez, where depending on where you look, he's 30 to 40 between multiple services. That was the starting piece. The Twins, that's a non-starter for them. They were not going to touch those guys. I think if they wanted to do something, it would have been surrounding Luke Kuechel, who's looking like a really good player, but, you know, talks didn't advance at all. And they got the sense with both Detroit and Chicago that they just didn't want to trade in division. And that does make it difficult. Look, you don't want to see your rivals win. The funny part is that's ego, right?
Oh, my God. So the White Sox didn't want to trade Eric Fetty within the division because they were afraid of Eric Fetty being on the Twins and helping the Twins this year while the White Sox are headed towards the worst record ever. Or maybe Eric Fetty would help them next year while the White Sox are mildly better, you know, and they didn't want to trade within the division. This kid, Luke Kuechel, the number five prospect for Minnesota, it looks really, really good. Now, the prospect rankings that Dan Hayes was rattling off, those were top 100 rankings. Those were not within the Twins system. Those were like,
yeah,
those are three guys who are in like the top 40 or 50 of all the prospects. And that's who Chris Getz asked for. But then he wouldn't take this guy, Kuechel, who now I'll be watching and wondering if he'll be any good and if he was worth the pride of not trading within the division, Chris Getz.
We'll go to Canton to talk to Dan Wiederer about the big weekend ahead for Bears past and present and see who the hell's playing in this game tonight. Next on The Score.
I'll tell you, I am fired up today because how about them Bears?
Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune again.
Bears beat report and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
This story by Dan Wiederer, it's obviously very well reported.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score and 2400 Sports.
I've said this before, playing quarterback in the NFL is a lot like marriage. It's not about being a hero all the time. It's about limiting your mistakes. And if you do make a mistake, make sure it's not a catastrophic one.
Dan Wiederer.
His name is Dan Wiederer. Wiederer time.
Weedsy.
With Danny and Speeds.
Wiederer time.
Bears.
The Take the North pod.
Dan Wiederer talks football with you.
We go to Canton where Dan Wiederer is with us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Thanks for the time, Dan. Football is back.
Yeah, I'm in a press box here overlooking the field here at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium, and we've got an actual NFL football game being played tonight.
That's pretty cool. Before we get to the game, how are the vibes been? What's the scene been like for you to be surrounded by all the Bears, the Hall of Fame stuff and everything else? What's it been like?
Yeah, I think it's going to build as the next couple of days unfold, obviously leading towards the enshrinement ceremony on Saturday. You can just feel around town the number of Bears fans that are in town, and then obviously you know that so many people that were part of the journeys of Steve McMichael and Julius Peppers and Devin Hester will be here to pay their respects. Cool stuff. Was here in 2018 for Urlacher, and this will be almost triple the magic just because of how well the Bears are represented in the entire weekend.
Just saw video of one of the local Bears, Cole Kmet, wearing a Julius Peppers jersey.
That's cool.
As he walks into the stadium. That's pretty cool.
Cole's one of the guys that I'm looking forward to talking to because I'd imagine that the Bears fan in him is hard to suppressed on a weekend like this. And so it'd be really cool to kind of get his reflections of the whole experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, give us a few of the biggest names who you expect to actually play tonight.
Oh, boy. you got to go pretty far down the list. I mean, at practice yesterday with the guys that they planned on holding out for tonight, you're talking about pretty much every starter on both sides of the ball. Tyler Scott would be a guy that may get a little bit of run tonight. Bayless Jones on the receiving core. Austin Booker, you know, a rookie that obviously is looking to carve out a significant role within this defense. Those would be three that I'd start you with. And I've talked all week about the depth that the Bears have at the cornerback position. Tonight's a good night to kind of get a look at that, knowing that obviously the Gordon Stevenson, Jalen Johnson trio won't be on the field. But when you see some of the other guys they have behind those guys, it makes you feel pretty good about where they can go.
Yeah, who's the guy named Reddy? What's his name?
Reddy Stewart. Reddy Stewart, yep.
Yeah, and he had a couple interceptions last week. I mean, you can never have enough of those guys. So are we looking at special teamers, or is there an actual spot among the bottom of the depth chart for the corners?
Yeah, no, I mean, you need second-line guys, you know, and so whether it's a Josh Blackwell, a Reddy Stewart, a Jalen Jones, those guys are all going to have to play teams for you. And so tonight's a really interesting night from that vantage point as well, because you've got this new kickoff rule going into effect, and talking to coaches around the league, this is the rare situation in the preseason where coaches are going to show their hand a little bit because they have to figure out how other teams are going to react to certain things. And so there's going to be a month of experimenting with this new kickoff rule, and that'll start off tonight league-wide with the Bears and the Texans trying some things out.
My theory is the teams will not kick it through the back of the end zone in the preseason, but will in the regular season. And so we're going to not really get a read on what this is going to look like in these exhibition games.
Well, we'll see. You know, and it'll be interesting to see who thinks that they're smart enough to find a little wrinkle, right, or some glitch in the matrix that they think they can expose. I was told that back in the spring when this was coming up for a vote, there was resistance to one proposal in which the touchback would come out to the 35, apparently led strongly by Sean McVay, who was said he wasn't going to vote for it unless that the ball was coming out to the 30 on the touchback. And so there's some people that think that 5-yard difference is actually going to have a negative impact on why the rule was put in, which is to create more kickoff opportunities, to create more return opportunities, to bring a play in the game that has obviously gone the way of the dinosaur in the last 10 or 15 years. And so we'll just kind of have to watch it all evolve.
Little side note. Did you see that Tariq Cohen suddenly retired today in Jets camp?
And, I did see that.
Yeah. And there was a report yesterday that he was feeling great. He said, I'm all the way back. I'm just trying to show the Jets I'm all the way back. And supposedly the coaches had thought he'd look good and sudden retirement. That made me sad because I was rooting for Tariq, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, easy guy to root for. And obviously it was just an absolute shame the way his career ended on, you know, essentially on a punt return that he fair caught and got run into. And obviously he had trouble coming back from that and then had another catastrophic injury to his Achilles. And it's just, this is a hard, hard sport to play at the highest level, even when you're fully healthy. And when you have two major injuries like that to overcome, it's a real challenge.
All right. So you mentioned Austin Booker. Does he have a real shot to get starts in the early part of this year, or at least be part of the rotation in the early part of this year?
Part of the rotation for sure. And one of the things that this coaching staff has talked about a lot with him is just how natural he is as a body mover. And when I say that, it's just he has this ability to move in his lower half with his shoulders to avoid real firm contact from a pass blocker. And so they want to see this now. You've done it all off season in sort of a, you know, non-live situation. You've gotten the pads on recently, you've gone through some one-on-ones, and now in the preseason it's your opportunity to say, okay, this is NFL game speed, this is full contact, this is full pads. Eric Washington said yesterday the thing he's looking for from Austin Booker during the preseason is putting the quarterback on the ground. You know, we can talk about this, that, and the other thing with the way he moves, but the bottom line is the result has to be there at the end of the play, and so they want to see him be able to finish some rushes and use some of the natural gifts he has athletically to become part of this rotation. And if he can, then maybe some of the concerns that we've expressed for a long time about that defensive line and about that pass rush come down a level or two.
I got two more things on the game tonight. This is the Torrey Taylor debut, yes? The real punter punts?
I would believe so. I would believe he would get a few opportunities, and they've got a left-footed punter as well, Corliss Waitman, who will get some opportunities to boom some out there and audition for another team somewhere else. So if you're looking forward to seeing Trick Shot Torrey, you may get a couple glimpses tonight.
Okay. And then do you believe this to be a real competition with Tyson Bagent and Brett Rypien at backup quarterback?
No, I think that they feel really strongly about who Tyson can be as their QB2. There's been nothing that I've seen from the spring or the early parts of the summer that steer me off of that. I know how Ryan Poles has felt about him, and I guess some of it comes down to, you know, applying this now. You've been asked to learn a new offense with a new coordinator as a second-year guy. How quickly can you get smooth and fluid with a lot of that stuff? How quickly can you have production in the preseason that gives the coaching staff full belief that you can be called on in a pitch?
Man, I got to say, the QB2 party is aging extremely well. Just.
Good job by you, Steve.
Yeah, and I mean, anybody who grinds their absolute face off the way Tyson Bagent grinds his absolute face off deserves an opportunity to get a bigger role for himself.
Dan, really enjoyed the deep dive on Caleb's development the other day in the Tribune. Loved the verbiage from Ryan Poles about breaking the cycle of bad Bears quarterbacking. I like that verbiage a lot. We can all relate, especially the parents among us. What did you take away? I have one, but I'm curious what you took away as one of the biggest differences in terms of the cycle of bad Bears quarterbacking that they're trying to break.
So that's a great phrasing of the question, because I've been asked that a lot. It's like, what's going to be different this time? The skeptical Bears fan will say, we've lived this with Mitch. We've lived this with Justin. We've seen the hope turn into early production, turn into more hope, then turn into frustration and mediocrity and divorce, you know, and we're trying to get out of that pattern. And the first thing I would say is, number one, you've got a quarterback that has obvious quarterbacking gifts that surpass his two previous predecessors. That's one. Number two, you seem to have unity throughout the organization that creates this plan that I try to detail in the story that is layered and is comprehensive and has everybody sort of steering in the same direction. You think about Mitch Trubisky's rookie season, and you had a head coach who didn't even know that was going to be his quarterback, and a general manager that was already seeking the next coach to replace the head coach that was going to coach Mitch Trubisky in his rookie season. Justin Fields comes into a situation with a regime and Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy where they were put in a win or else season, you know, that ultimately cost them their jobs at the end of his rookie season. You combine that with the greater supporting cast that Caleb has to work with, and that's both with offensive playmakers and the defense that should be able to take some pressure off them, and you just have the opportunity here now to capitalize on a gift that was given to you by the Carolina Panthers and that is probably never going to be replicated. And so it is one of those situations where if not now, then when? And so hopefully the Bears have thought it out comprehensively enough to give themselves a chance at making this thing work.
The intentional limitation of the voices to Caleb, like using all these guys on staff, Ryan Griffin, Andy Reese, Shane Waldron, and everything, but Corey Joseph is the one who gets the text messages at night. Corey Joseph is the guy he's supposed to talk to. Does that feel different, or is that just something I'm noticing?
Well, no, I mean, it is certainly an intentional part of the plan, and Ryan was very firm with that, and some of that came from feedback that he got from Thomas Brown, who is the passing game coordinator who spent last season in Carolina with Bryce Young and saw some of the things that went wrong in year one with Bryce Young and was able to relay some of those things. And so it's been very clear inside the building that they want Shane Waldron and Kerry Joseph being the point people for Caleb. And as Ryan said, it doesn't mean nobody else can provide input or feedback or talk to Caleb, but they just want to make sure that it is consistently coming from the same people so that the messages don't become so multiple and so overwhelming. And this guy wants me to do this, and this guy wants me to do that, and this guy wants me to do that. That all of a sudden, as a rookie quarterback, your head starts to spin, and that's the first signs of trouble when you start to make your young quarterback's head spin.
I'd like to apologize to 13-year NBA veteran Corey Joseph.
Why do you keep making the point guard the quarterback?
Hey, man,
coach?
I'm sorry. I love hoops. You know what I mean?
Just makes yeah.
I'll get over it eventually. Kerry Joseph.
Kerry Joseph.
Got it. Okay.
It was a good piece, Dan. We talked about it on the show. You Poles said something about like he has blind spots, and we have to try to guard him from that, like in the CEO portion of the column, I believe. Did you get any insight as to what blind spots he thinks Caleb has, or is that just he's a rookie? So of course he does.
Well, I think it's just learning what it means to be a figurehead of a charter franchise in the NFL in a market as big as Chicago is, right? And I think that they understand the spotlight that is going to follow Caleb Williams everywhere he goes. They understand that every single press conference he does is going to be under a microscope, and if he has a low-energy, negative type of press conference, it's going to create national headlines for a week, you know? And so there's just little things that I think that they are trying to train him on, coach him on, get him to understand that this is a 365-day a year now as a CEO of the franchise. And as Ryan said, there's a team president, a general manager, a head coach, and a quarterback in these NFL franchises, and they all have to be forward-facing voices for the organization. And so Caleb obviously is very good at that so far. He's got a very natural comfort in that role, but along the way, you know, there's going to be landmines, and you got to help him try to navigate that so that he doesn't step on any and create any sort of unnecessary anxiety or distraction within the building. And a lot to the role more than just playing quarterback, and playing quarterback is the biggest part of the pie, obviously. But you have to manage a whole lot of other things when you're settling into this type of responsibility.
Enjoy the weekend, man. The coverage that you've been given is great, especially the stuff on Mongo, obviously, which is the biggest story of this weekend. So enjoy your time in Canton, man, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to Devin tomorrow. He's been one of my favorites. I was here for his last season in Chicago, so catching up with him tomorrow will be another little treat of this early season road trip.
All right, good stuff, Dan. Thank you, sir.
All right, see you guys.
It's Dan Weider of The Trib and The Score. Yeah, so there you go. That's what you got for tonight. Torrey Taylor, maybe. Mm-hmm. Tyson Bagent, yes.
Austin Booker,
Tyler, yes.
Tyler Scott,
probably.
Yeah.
Bayless Jones, probably.
Uh-huh, and Reddy Stewart.
Yeah, and backup cornerback.
Yeah, man.
There it is.
Let's go. That's why I'm going to Section 313 to watch the Cubs and Cards with my lady.
Good for you. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Got some really exciting entertainment news today that genuinely makes me happy. We'll end there next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on The Score.
Amarillo Slim, the greatest proposition gambler of all time, held to his father's maxim. You can shear a sheep many times, but skin him only once.
One of my favorite movies ever. The greatest poker movie ever. And just an absolute cult classic. Rounders. They've talked about it. They've talked about it. It's been rumored. Are you going to do a sequel? What happened to Mike McD? Did he make it when he went off to Vegas? Did him and Worm ever reunite? What happens to Mike McDermott and Worm when their paths part at the end of Rounders? Well, Rich Eisen got Matt Damon, and he asked him.
You and Ben must get scripts, ideas. Did anybody come to you with sequel ideas at all? Anybody come to you with like, hey, you should do this with the characters, Good Will Hunting, anything like that? People constantly knocking on your door saying you should do that?
No. Actually, well, Ben just did The Accountant 2, and we did that through our company, mm-hmm. With Warner Brothers, but through our company. And the one that we've been talking about for years, and we're trying to, and I just saw Edward Norton a few weeks ago, and like all of us want to do it, is a second Rounders movie. Because so much has happened in that poker world in the last 25 years, it would be fun to catch up with those guys. But there's a whole, you know, you got to figure out who the chain of title and who owns it and who, you know, and everybody's got their hand in the pot. And so we got to figure out a way to make a deal that makes sense for everybody, particularly the people who are going to make the movie, because that's at Artist Equity. That's who we care about, or the cast and crew. And so we're trying to figure that out, because I think we'd all like to do that.
So do you have a general sense of what it would be about or look like once you can clear the business deck here, Matt?
Well, it's funny. You know, we talked about it, I want to say 10 or 15 years ago, and Brian and David, who, yep, you know, wrote the Rounders and then went on to do Billions and, you know, very successful guys, they had a whole movie ready to go then. But now there's been a whole nother kind of change in the poker world since then. So I haven't talked to them about what it would be, but I know they'd come. I mean, what they had 10 years ago, I thought was fantastic. And I'm sure they've, you know, they could augment and kind of roll with the times and update it to where we are today and make something great.
That's awesome.
Oh, this is so good.
Is everybody alive? Malkovich alive and functioning and acting? John Turturro alive and functioning?
Yeah.
Right? What's his name is gone. The professor is gone.
Yes.
It was in all the Woody Allen. And Martin Landau.
Yes.
Martin Landau.
Yes.
God, I loved him.
Yeah, excellent.
He's so good in Crimes and Misdemeanors. Oh, my God.
That's where they should pick that up, at his wake, or his funeral, you know what I mean? His shiva or whatever. You know?
His shiva. He comes back. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
He doesn't come back. His shiva. No, but dead.
No, Mike McD comes back pay his respects. He comes back to New York from a successful career in Vegas.
I thought you wanted a Worm zombie.
Worm is in trouble.
Zombie turn.
No, it's not a sci-fi. I know there's game theory optimization and solvers and all that stuff in the modern poker world, but we're not there yet with zombie poker players. That's ridiculous.
He comes back. Yeah, no,
you don't need to do that.
Cool.
You don't need to bring everybody. You don't
back,
need to bring. I mean, obviously, people would want Malkovich and Teddy KGB and Grandma and all that, but it could be how's old school Mike McDermott doing in Vegas in the world of
the modern analytical gambling
and the game theory, and like he can't hack it in that world, so he gets into the home games and he brings in his buddy Worm to beat the home games in Vegas, and it's a whole different world. But I mean, you got to have Norton and you got to have Damon. Everybody, and listen, you probably have to have Malkovich. Who am I kidding?
I think you got to have Malkovich.
You probably got to have Malkovich.
Yeah, and I mean, he could work with them. That would be the flip.
Oh, he introduces them to like the Vegas home game.
Right, exactly.
Like, he's got a gangster like, beef in Vegas.
We got to find somebody who knows the home game scene.
Yeah.
Well, there's one guy who knows it better than all of them.
Yeah, Teddy KGB gets him in. Oh, that's not bad.
Come on now.
That's not bad.
It's not my first Rounders sequel conversation.
She's got alligator blood. Can't get rid of him.
The story of him showing up on set, because they were all filming the movie, and they're like, oh my God, we got Malkovich. But so he did all of the Teddy KGB scenes in like a week, in like 5 days. And the first time he's sitting across from Damon and he does the completely over-the-top accent, Damon said he broke and he thought he was being pranked.
Oh God.
And then he just did it again, and he did it even more ridiculous. And then how Damon tells the story is, after the first scene, he goes, I'm a terrible actor. Like, as just he was messing with him, and then he does the whole thing. Just iconic.
Oh
man.
So yeah, there's a lot of goodwill and a lot of good vibes behind a movie like that, you know, ends up a cult classic. Like, it didn't hit at first. I think it was it kind of tanked.
Yeah.
At first, and then, like, you know, people rally around it, and like all that goodwill remains.
And so, like, I don't think that a sequel would ruin the original. Like, I normally don't call for it for those types of things, but it's been so long, and they pay so much respect, and there's not a lot of movies made about poker.
Well,
it would not ruin the original.
It depends. Like, you've got a lot of really talented and smart filmmakers. I mean, Damon knows what he's doing.
Yep.
And then Koppelman, I mean, Billions was really, really elegantly done.
Yep.
So Koppelman and those guys know what they're doing, so they could find a way to do it with grace.
Yeah, I think so too. That's, I love
Mark
that.
Grace. Could find a way to do it with Mark Grace. Another number 17.
Felix
PA took it away from him.
All right. Dan Wiederer was on the show today.
He sure was.
That's it, Tanny. That was the only guest.
Great job, Shane.
No, you crushed it, though. You brought 7 bags of chips.
Joe Buck texted back, said he's sorry. And
Tariq Cohen didn't.
Oh, man. It's too bad.
Oh, well.
I remain the president of baseball. Nobody's my vice president. I'll fill out the cabinet
tomorrow.
That's
how good you are.
Yeah, I guess so.
I can't wait to hear about your genocide on tomorrow's show.
Sorry, I'm going to miss that after the day game tomorrow.
I got the shorty tomorrow solo, everybody.
Appreciate that, Speed. Yeah.
Oh, it's just you here, Tanny? Yeah. We don't have to come in.
I'm telling everybody, save all your Danny jokes for tomorrow when he's not here.
That's perfect.
Got it.
And remember, we've worked together long enough.
Thank you to Connor O'Donnell and Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat video stream. Thank you, sirs.
Just bringing it all back around.
Yeah, tying the room together. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill making us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
All right, I got to go here, guys. I got something.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.